Okay, our pick up the Gemara, Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're four lines from the top. Just to give a background again to what we were discussing, we had a question that at the end of the day, how is it that you're able to have a Mila on the eighth day? Maybe this person, this baby is a Suffolk Nafil. Maybe it's going to be someone who was never going to live out the 30 days, in which case it wasn't someone who'd be Chayev to do the Mila for. And if that's the case, you would have violated Shabbos. So the Gemara says that it would be a Madashach, that no matter which way you put it, it's going to work out. Because if the baby does live the 30 days, then you've done the mitzvah of Mila, which is a mitzvah to do on the Eidoreis on the eighth day, and you have no problem violating Shabbos. However, even if the Mila, if the baby, Rechmal Hatzlan, dies, so then the Gemara is saying that that's also not an issue, because we view it as kilu, like you're cutting meat when you're doing it, because the actual, what have you cut? You cut a body that was never really a human being, it was really a Nefel, so therefore, halachically, it's not considered doing the issue of Chabura, of creating a Chabura of the wound, and therefore, you have no problem of what you had done. So now the Gemara says, Ve'ala, that's where we're holding, is a question on this explanation. Where it says, Allah Hadassani, but we quote on the Braisa tells us, Safik ben Shiva, Safik ben Shmona. We had a question, if there's a child who's in the seventh month, which we assumed is considered healthy enough to be able to survive, and you give a bris mila, or if you had it, or an eighth month, which is not considered someone who's able to survive, as we had seen on the previous daf, Ein mechan alavis of Shabbos. The halacha is that we would not violate Shabbos in order to do the mila for this baby. So Gemara asks, why don't you say the same svara, Amai? Why should that be the case? Nimlai meman of Shach. We should be able to do the bris mila on the man of shachat. Either way you say it, it should work out. The same svarah. If the child really is able to survive, then you've done a bris mila. Great. So you've done nothing wrong. And let's say he's not able to survive. Then it would be the same exact svarah, that all you're doing is cutting the meat, and there's no issue with Vuda as kilu. You're touching the dead, what would have been the mafreya, retroactively is going to come out. It wasn't a human being. It wasn't a halachic human being halachically, because it wasn't able to survive. So you have not done any iser, it's just like as if you halachically were cutting meat, it was mentioned yesterday. So the Gemara wants to answer, the Gemara suggests, Amar Marbre de Ravina. Marbre de Ravina wants to suggest, Anar Rav Nechemia Bar Zechariah Tegemina, Mimhal Hachi Nima Mimelina Lei. So really, I Rav Nechemia Bar Zechariah wanted to explain the Braisa, is that we were referring to Bris Mila, we're talking about Bris Mila on Shabbos. So then what's the halacha? What about the kasha we just mentioned? So he said, no, it's not for the Shita of Rabbanan like you wanted to Taina. Ella Leil Nitzricha, Ella Machshire Mila Veliba Rabbi Lezer. The Braisa is coming to teach a Chiddush, not within the das of the Rabbi Kiva and Tanakh. It's within the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, who we know allows you to do machshire mila, all the preparations for the mila, like creating the kli of the mila knife. So our Braisa is teaching the Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer that in that circumstance, in the same situation of doubt, you would not be able to override Shabbos. But in Achanami, yes, you would be able to you would be able to do the mila for the same exact svara. But Rebbe Eliezer is being mechadish that you would not be able to do machshire mila with the suffix of the seventh or eighth month. What's the difference between machshire mila versus the actual bris mila? Because the whole svara doesn't apply by the machshire mila. What was our svara is that the actual, if you've done the chabura on the bris mila itself, it's not, it comes out lemafre retroactively that you didn't do the iser of chabura on Shabbos. But we're creating a kli, is tikkun mane, is whatever you're going to be doing, is you're going to be creating a fire, lighting it to create the wood, whatever you're doing to create this mila knife, all of those malachas, you can't say that lemafre that retroactively nothing happened. You've done all of those malachas if the baby doesn't survive. So it comes out that it would be a regular sabek deraisa lechumra, in which case Rabbi Lezer would agree that the machshirek mila in such a case would not override Shabbos. Okay, so we see over here that what comes out from over here is that the Gemara is explaining that Rav Adi Bar Hava is holding that if you have a child that's born in the eighth month of the pregnancy, is not considered it's going to be considered as if he's dead halachically. So the Gemara wants to understand that. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Ketanai, that whether or not the eighth month old child is considered halachically dead for these purposes is a question in the Tanoim. The Gemara says, V'chiyamos benima asher hilachem la'ochla. Pasuk says that if they're going to be an animal that dies from you, and you're able to eat it, so someone who touches it, that's the hemshech of the pasuk, is also important for us, that it's going to be la'ocha hanogel b'nosi yizmada arvet. Someone who touches it is going to be tamei through the tumas of nevela. So Rashi explains that there's a few things that we learn out in Torah's Kohanim that are important for the hemshech of our drushas. The first is the fact that it says v'chiyamus min ha-behema, that if it's going to die from the animals, the lashon of min is usually a miut. So this is going to be understanding that the case of a trefa, and it's teaching you that a trefa cannot be considered permitted to eat by being shechted, and it's going to be considered nevela theoretically. However, the shechita with the chiddush over here is that the shechita is going to remove it from the category of nevela. However, it's not going to be permitted to eat, obviously, even if you've done the shechita. For the hemshech of the pasuk, also the Gemara tells us the Sefer Rashi quotes is telling us that also the lashon of asher hi lachem la'achla, that's for you to eat. That pasuk is also going to be, what do you mean lachem la'achla? You're not allowed to eat it. So this is a reference to even non kosher animals. It's teaching us that they could become nevela as well. And the word la'achla is teaching us that this is the ikar drasha for our purpose right now. Is la'achla, to eat it, as referring to an 8 month old baby of the kosher animal, which is assumed to be not just like it is by an adam. It's not going to be considered able to be lived to live halachically. So too by the animal as well. It suggests that an offspring of that is nevela when it dies, even though it dies through shechita. That is the chiddush over here. So the Gemara now says, "L'havi ben shmona she'en shechitaso metarto." That's telling you that that's what we're just mentioning right now. That the fact that you have an 8 month old baby, based on this drasha that Rashi quoted, that's what we learn out from here, that the shechita would not be metaharet. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim shechitaso metarto. That when you shecht it, that would make it tar, and that would not be a nevela anymore. My live back and forth, I want to suggest, isn't this what they're arguing about? Demar Savar Chayu, that what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, are they going to say that halachically it's considered a living animal, and therefore the shechita would remove it from the status of nevela. However, Mar Savar Mesu, as opposed to the Chachamim there, they're going to argue and say that halachically it's viewed as a dead animal, and therefore it's going to be nevela, and shechting it would have no difference halachically, because at the end of the day, you have shechted ki'ilu halachically a dead animal, and therefore it's going to be nevela. So it's not so pashut, but I want to suggest that it's a machlokas tanan. So Rava wants to reject this. Gemara says, Amar Rava, no, ihachi, if you want to assume that that's the case, that the Bryce is talking about an 8 month old, and it's whether or not it's going to be chai or mace, halachically, then ad mifligilin and tuma vetara lifligilin and achila. So, but with the fact that this Brisa would be arguing with regards to Tumah Ventara, why don't they actually argue whether or not it's permitted to eat an 8 month old animal bichlal? Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they should say that it's mutter to eat this meat as well, since the animal over here was halachically alive. And then, depending on when you shechted, you've shechted a live animal, and it should be kosher to eat. Why are they bringing in the cancer of whether or not it's Tumas Nevela? So Gemara says, based on that, rather, Ela Dukuli Alma Mesu. Halachically, everyone's going to view it as halachically dead. And, but as Rav Adar Bar Rava wanted to suggest, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savei Ketrefa, that they're saying that this is like a trefa. Trefa lav, apagav de mesa, yi shcheta matarsa. So shouldn't it be like no different than a case of a shcheta? As a trefa, as we mentioned, a trefa is an animal that is not going to live out its, however long it's going to be. Now the chedesh is, the Torah tells you that when you shech the trefa, it's not going to have the tumas nevela. If you carry it and things like that, it would not have the tuma of tumas nevela. Hachanami, lo shna. So too, when it comes to the Tanakam, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, they want to suggest that this case is no different when it comes to the offspring of this animal, and halachically we're going to view it as halachically dead, and shechting it would remove it from the status of a nevela. So the Gemara says now, V'rabbanan, so what are the Rabbanan, why do they argue on this? They said, no, lo dami la trefa, because trefa is ala shasa kosher. That at the end of the day, a trefa is, at some point, kosher to be eaten. It only became a trefa when it was mortally wounded, if he was bitten on like it lost its leg, or whatever it may have been, a puncture in the lung, whatever it may have been to create it to the status of a trefa, but that was something that didn't exist originally, only now it's trefa. The Gemara says, but, hi lo haisa la shasa kosher, and the Gemara just finishing off the comparison, that when it comes to the 8 month baby, as soon as it's born, there was never a shah where it was kosher to be shechted. So therefore, fundamentally, the two cases are different. But the Gemara says, but wait a second, you could ask a kasha on the Rabbanan. You could suggest, according to the Rabbanan, v'chitema treifu mi betin ma'ikel mimar. But what would you say about the following case? If you have a trefa when the animal is born, an animal never had a shasa kosher either, and yet shechting it would make it tahar matumas nevela. Everyone would agree to that. So why over here would that be the case? So the Gemara wants to answer: Hasam yesh b'mina shchita. That there, in the case of the trefa that's born as a trefa, there is that the category of trefas exist in shchita to make it kosher. However, meaning that if you have the concept of a trefa, that the animals exist plenty of times, that it were originally kosher and now they're not. However, halcha emimina shchita, here there is no even category of an 8 month old baby that was born that's ever going to be nidon as its chai, and therefore it's going to be never, even when you shecht it, according to Rabbanan, it should never remove its status as being an animal that should be removed from the status of nevela. So Rava, therefore, we see Rava, the maskana is now assuming that a nevel is considered halachically dead according to everyone, as Rabbi Varda wanted to taina, and the machlokas of Reis is just whether or not the shechita is going to be helpful in making this tohar from Tumas Nevela, as we just mentioned. Okay, so the Gemara now says Ibailahu. So now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, when Shimon Gamliel was discussing an animal that you only shecht it after 8 days old. The Gemara says, Mi pligi Rabbanan le'ed Rabbi Shimon Gamliel alav. Do the Rabbanan argue the Shimon Gamliel, or do they say no, that they agree with him? So, instance, the Rabbanan pligi alachim mosu'in alachasama. And not only that, the Rabbanan disagree, but if the who, how do we paskin? Like, if there is such a machlokas that exists on the books, how would we paskin in terms of, do you have to wait 8 days for the animal or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a proof in the Braisa. Egel shenolad miyantov, shochtenoso biyantov. If you have a calf that's born on yantov, it's allowed to be shechted on yantov, it's not going to be a problem of mukta, right? We know, like, beitza shenolad miyantov, that is a shiloh, right? That is a machlokas, the first mission of beitza over there, is when that becomes mukta. So why over here is this animal that's being born not a problem of muktzah? So Rashi already points out because it's part of the mother, right? We're here at Chimo, that's talking about that sugi over there, is that fundamentally the newborn, the fetus, is part of the animal, and it's keilu, it's not something that's nola, it's not something that's a problem, it's something that wasn't there before, that's considered there now, so it's not a problem of muktzah. And not only that, the Mishnah tells you over there that you're allowed to shecht an animal. So we clearly see that you would be a machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and this, because Rav Shimon Gamliel says you have to wait 8 days, and here Mishnah is telling you, this Braisa rather is telling you that it'd be mutter to eat it right away after day one. So the Gemara wants to reject the proof. The Gemara says, no, hacha mayaskina, dekimli begova, shekala lechotchev. So what are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with a case where you knew that the months were completed. Where we're talking about that it was an animal that you knew that it was a full-term baby, and therefore, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that a full-term animal is going to be considered be able to live out its life, and it could be shechted on the first day, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that it was a 9-month pregnancy. The Gemara says, is that Tashma, let's bring another proof of it. Shavin, she'im nolad, hu umumo imo, that they would agree, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would agree, that in the case where you have a bechor that was born with a blemish, shazem in amucha, that's considered prepared, and you're allowed to shecht it on that day. What exactly is the machlokas of here? So Rashi fills us in. There is a machlokas in general about bechoros. A bechoros, first of all, the halacha about bechoros, take a step back. A bechor is the firstborn of a kosher animal, and it has to be given to a kohen. The kohen has to bring that as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. However, if the bechor has a blemish, if it has a mum kavua, so then it would be something that is no longer not going to be valid as a sacrifice, as a korban. However, the kohen is allowed to shecht it anywhere he wants and then eat it. That's why there's a lot of sugis and bechoros about that. The kohanim would be a question to be cheating on this a little bit, right? Because if they have to be matriach to go bring it to Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to if it's just a mum, they could eat a nice big fat cow, a lot of meat for free wherever they are outside the Beis HaMikdash. But either way, so we see that. But before you check the mum kavua, it has to be checked by a mumche. So the Mishnah and Beitza quotes machlokas whether a bechor that has a blemish before Yom Tov, are you allowed to look at it on Yom Tov? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, you are. Rabbi Shimon had two tainas on why you're not allowed to do that. First, it's comparable to tikkun bana, that's it's like masakin, and repairing something on Shabbos is usher. People are going to start thinking it's a mutter to repair things on Shabbos. So that's the first example why it should be usher. The second explanation also is that it's usher to create a psak din, to make a psak din of a based din to have a shame based din on Shabbos and Yom Tov is usher. So the Braisa is telling you that both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, however, would agree. So that was all, in a regular case, was Erev Yantiv. What about the animals born on Yantiv with a blemish? In that circumstance, it was born with a mum. In that circumstance, there is no machlokas. They would agree that because it doesn't look like, it doesn't, the both tainas Rabbi Shimon wouldn't be applicable. It doesn't look like repairing because it was born with a blemish. And the second one, it doesn't look like a psak din because it never had a shas hakosher. So the Gemara over there actually just adds one more point that you'd actually need the beis din to actually witness the animal coming out. So you never had a shas hakosher. Because if it has a shas hakosher, then it would be a problem of a psak din, because it was made it something that originally you thought was not a mum, and now you're paskining that it's a mum. So if they were there when the moment it was born, so you never had to paskin kilu that it was something out of the mum, and they're telling you right away that out of mum, that's not a kilu psak, and therefore that'd be mutter. So the Gemara is saying that everyone agreed though. That in that circumstance, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's considered at the point that we're bringing that it's considered something that's not a problem. It's considered a mum. It's not a problem of a psak din, and everyone would agree that you could check that animal on that day. So again, you're allowed to bring it on day one. This is a problem. This is seemingly against Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Gemara says Hakanami Shekalu Chatshav. So no, here too, also dealing with the case that it was the months were completed, and you know that even Reb Shimon would agree that it's allowed to be shechted right away because you knew it was 9 months. So the Gemara says Tashma. So maybe you can bring another raya from the following. Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Lachak Reb Shimon Gamliel, that Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel says the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So if you have to say the halacha is like Rav Moshe versus Rav Moshe. So if Rav Moshe was, that sounds like someone who was arguing on Rav Moshe. The Gemara says, yeah, halacha b'chal d'pliki. It sounds like someone who's disagreeing with that psak. Shemana, the Gemara says, you're right. That actually indeed is a very good proof, because if you say, oh, I have to say the halacha is like this, it sounds like someone's arguing. That's why I have to come to teach you the halacha is in fact like that. So there is a shita of the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara continues, Amar Abaye. So now the Gemara wants to qualify Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says, "Nafal min agag o achlu ari." If a child who was younger than 30 days, it fell from a roof nerach and it died, or it was eaten by a lion, meaning the whole point is that it died from something other than a normal death of just dying within the 30 days, dibri akol chayu, then everyone, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan, are both going to agree that that's considered an animal, a human here, the child, which should have been able to live more than 30 days, and And it's considered a child that would have lived more than 30 years. What's the nafkamina? We're going to see the hemshich of the Gemara. I already quoted over here. It's to tell you that the wife, if the husband subsequently died, if the husband dies after that, so then the wife would not need to do chalitza. Because the halacha is, if you ever had a child, even if the child dies, if the child was ever alive, so meaning to here, if the halacha has to live for 30 days, then the woman would not have to do any chalitza anymore. So kipligi shepiyek ames. So now the Gemara is saying that everyone agreed in a situation where it was something else external was causing the death, that wouldn't be a problem of that. Everyone agree that it's as if the person would have lived more than 30 days, as if he is chai. So the machlokas is whether if the child behek is literally whether it's lashon and brachos, so you're not supposed to yawn during davening. Here also it's like yawning. I mean, he's not able to breathe so well even right when he was born. So then he died. So mar savar chayu. So the chachamim hold that's still considered a person who is able to live, because at the end of the day, even if he's weak, we see the majority of newborns sometimes are weak and can't breathe so well. That's still not a problem. Mar savar meiser. Shimon Gamliel is going to hold that no, it's still considered halakhically as if it is considered somewhat dead. There's a shiloh. At the end of the day, if the chacham are going after the rov, then why should Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagree with that? Some say he's choshesh from Yadamat. So shiloh exactly what the pshat is in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, so Gemara has asked, so at the end of the day, lamai nafkamina, what's going to be the halakha difference whether or not we assume the child was able to survive more than 30 days or not? So that's what we discussed. Gemara says, liptor mina yibum, that if the mother had this child, and then the child dies within in the circumstance that it fell off the roof or an animal ate it within these 30 days, then is she able to remarry without having to do chalitza, right? There's a halacha that if a person dies without any children, you have to do either yibum or chalitza. So here, everyone would agree that, agav, you shouldn't do yibum because there's a suffix. Even Shimon Gamliel, Pashas would agree that you wouldn't do yibum because there's a suffix. You'd only do chalitza to get out of the fact that maybe you had to do yibum. The Gemara, because why is there a problem to do yibum? Because if you do yibum, on a suffix, eishas ach, that's an isher d'oraisa, isher kari. So the children would be there and potentially, so therefore we tell you in a general, in cases of doubt, we'll tell you to do chalitza, not to do yibum. The Gemara says nafal min agag go achle ari. Now, so the Gemara now continues with Abaye's explanation. The Gemara is saying that if it fell from the roof or the lion ate it, divrei kol chayu, that everyone's going to agree that the child is considered someone who could have lived. V'har of papa Ravuna breder of shua ikla breder of papa idi bar avin v'avilu igla tilsa. But wait a second, isn't there a story once that Rav Papa bar Huna Rav Yeshua, and they came to the house of idi bar avin and they prepared from a third born calf? We know that was like a very spitz calf. I think we had it. I don't remember exactly. Maybe by the sugya of Hakazas Dam, that's very healthy for that. We discussed this already. This the egla tilta, that tafka the third born calf is very very healthy, very gishmak meat. So the Gemara, either way, the Gemara says be a mamba de shiva. So 7 days old. So then they shechted it. So he said, if I just delayed it a little bit, wait until tonight, till it tastes, I wouldn't be eating it. But however, now I'm not going to eat it. So we see from over here, because again the Pesukim Rashi quotes the Shorah Chesed Vayis Ki Veled V'Yom Shvus Tachim V'Yom Shvin Hala Yirat to the Korban Hashem. The lashon of V'Yash Shivas Yamim sounds like Dafka that night. Even that night, it's going to be kosher. That's the Chiddush over here. That Dafka that night, even though you can't bring a Korban the eighth day, but still, Misad the fact that it's kosher be'etzim to eat that night. That's what we're learning from here, that all animals can be eaten on the night of the seventh, meaning the night of the eighth day. Really, you don't have to wait till the eighth day Dafka. Really, the night of the eighth day is enough. So Gemara says, however, now I'm not going to eat it because the animal is not going to be considered, I don't necessarily know that it's able to live. So we see over here that we have a case where the animal died, and ki'ilu, we view it as it's going to be something that's created as a nevela, and therefore it's not going to be kasha. So this seems to be a machlokas that Abaye said before, that when a newborn dies of an external source, meaning here you shechted it. So what's the difference between this and the other case before? Why is this a problem? That according to Abaye, l'chora, Rav Shimon Gamliel should agree that this should have been something that's kasher. So the Gemara says, Ella, so based on that, the Gemara wants to qualify what Abaye said. But at the end of the day, Aga pointed out, also the Rashba points out, that we can't ask a kasha on Abaye, because this is only another shita in Amoraim. This is a story that happened with Amoraim, and we know the famous rule that an Amora can't contradict another Amora. So the Gemara, the Rashba points out that the Gemara was assuming that it's unlikely that these Amoraim, it's on them really, that these Amoraim would disagree with Abaye. So therefore, maybe we misquoted what Abaye had said, because it can't be that they would have this beferish story that would go against what Abaye had taught them. So the Gemara says, Ela kashivik, umes divrei kol mesu. So rather, Abaye was assuming that when the child's yawning and died, everyone would agree that the child is not assumed to be a child that could have lived out its life. The machlokes gufa is going to be when it falls from the roof or is eaten by a lion. So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Meisir, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to assume that this is considered a child that was not able to survive, because we don't know, and we're choshish for the fact that we don't know, and as we mentioned before, this would be a suffix, in which case you have to be machmir. And Mar Savar Chayu, as the Chachamim would agree, that it's considered that the child would be how long it lived, and you could assume that the child would have lived past the 30 days. So the Gemara now quotes just on this topic, so that was the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. Now the Gemara quotes, The son of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef had a child who was born to him, but go plus in Yom Shach, and unfortunately after 30 days it died. Yosef comes abalei, so he shat shiva. Amar lo avu, his father Rav Dimi told him. So again, this is within the first 30 days. So it was before the 30 days were over. So he died. So the Gemara said, Sabisu kam bayis lamechal. So he said, jokingly obviously, but he said, what, you want to eat all the good, delicious food? Everyone sends you all the restaurants that they said all the time, the bagels and everything that people send to shiva houses. Why are you mourning? Why are you in shiva right now? So where's Amar Lei Kimli Be Shekalu Chodshav? So he said, no, I knew that he was going to. I knew that it was the 9 months. The fertile term was, and therefore it was not a problem. Everyone would agree in this situation that I knew that it was 9 months prior to when I had relations with my wife, and therefore I knew that it wasn't a nephil, and I knew that it was someone who was able to survive, and for other external reasons it died. So therefore I was sitting shiva. The Gemara quotes a similar Ma'isa Rav Ashi Itla Be Rav Kahana. So he went to Rav Kahana's house. Yisrael Be Milsa Be Goy Plus Yomei. So also something happened to Rav Kahana's child. Died within 30 days of the child being born. Chazad Yosef Kavis Avilei. So Ravashi noticed Rav Kahana was sitting shiva for the baby. Amar Lei Lo Sever Lei Laha. Damar Vida Mar Shmuel Alacha Kram Shimon Gamliel. Didn't you hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that an infant that dies within 30 days is not going to be considered a shaychus because it's not going to be able, that was able to live out its life. So therefore, we don't mourn its death. The Gemara says, "Amar Lei Kimle Begava Shekalu Kolchav." No, that's only when it was less than 9 months. Over here, that I knew that it was more than 9 months. So then I wanted to agree that it was a full-fledged baby, a full-fledged, not a nephil anymore. It's not considered a nephil, and therefore you would be sinning shiva. The Gemara says, "Itmar." So we learn, "Meis Besoch Shloshim Yom." If an infant who's the only surviving child of the father, if he dies within 30 days, Va'amta v'niskacha, and his mother went ahead and didn't know this halacha that she should ideally do chalitza. So she went ahead and she got married to someone else. So the halacha is, so now the Gemara says, yes, there would be a difference in the halacha now. Amar Ravina, Mishmei de Rava. Ravina says in the name of Rava, Im Eishes Yisraeli, if she is an Eishes Yisrael, so no, she's accepted kedushin from a non-Kohen. So what should she do? Chalitza, she should do chalitza over here. So they were saying that we're lechatchila going to follow Rav Shimon Gamliel. So they were going to assume that the surviving child is only questionably is going to be able to survive. We didn't know, is he considered a nephil or not? Is he considered not a nephil? Is he considered just a miscarriage or considered a full-fledged human being? So now we're saying that the lacha is a suffix. So therefore we're going to not allow her to marry without doing chalitza, because once you do chalitza, then she marries a person, she is fully allowed to marry him. However, if it's an Eishes Kohen, let's say she was miskadesh, so an Eishes Kohen who's allowed to marry an almana, but not allowed to marry a choletzis, that's either Shalat Dereisa Rabbanan. Pashas Tosas hold it's Dereisa, and they quote Akash and Rashi, it seems to hold it as Dereisa. But either way, a Kohen is not allowed to marry someone who had went through the process of chalitza. So then, at that point in a choletzis, we wouldn't make her do chalitza, because we're only holding Rav Shimon Gamliel lechachila. That's what comes out over here. We're only holding like Rav Shimon Gamliel lechachila. But the Eved will tell you that in a situation here where she's not going to be able to marry the guy that she had originally got engaged to, so then we would tell her that she'd be allowed to continue with that marriage and not have to do chalitza to the first person, because at the end of the day we only pass in like Rav Shimon Gamliel lechachila, and he is only a suffix. So at that point we'll allow you to stay married to the kohen. So the Gemara says Rav Shira Mishmei de Rav Amar Achazu Vachazu Choletzes. That it doesn't matter. Both the cases you would have to do chalitza, and she would not be able to marry this Eishes Kohen at all, because we passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not just the Chumrah, but we mamish passing like that. Amar Lei Ravina Rav Shiva Beorsa Amar Rava Hachi. Is it true that at night Rava said this, as you said, meaning that you should do chalitza and not be able to marry this Kohen? However, that I heard that in the morning time when you said this halacha, so he went back and he changed his mind and he said that you would be able to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Rav Shiva responds to Ravina, Shariusa. So did you ignore Rav Shimon Gamliel and permit the person to marry without chalitza? Yerava the Shor Taraba, that you should be punished for this. You should be able to eat chalav as well. Meaning, what are you saying over here? That this is a very strange statement over here. There's different explanations over here, but he was very upset with the fact that he was being matir this situation. Okay, either way, the Gemara continues now, quoting the final ruling of the Mishnah. We said Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda would allow an adrigonus to get married. To have the mila on Shabbos. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Shivzi, Amar Rav Chista, Lo Lekol Amar Rabbi Yehuda Adrigonus Zachar. So we see that clearly from the din over here that Rabbi Yehuda rules that this Andrigonus, who has both male signs and female signs, he has different simanim that makes him look like a male and different things that make him look like a female, so we're not really sure exactly what he is. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that he's like a male because you do the Mila on Shabbos, we violate Shabbos to inherit the Mila. But the Gemara says that that's not the case in every halacha. Because if that would be the case, with regards to Erechin is the halacha that a person can make a declaration and say that I'm going to give the value of such a person and give that donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And there's different values that the Torah says. Like, right, if you have that one person who's between 5 and 20, then he gives the erech of 20 shekelim. If the person is a regular between 20 and 60 of a male, then you give 50 shekel. And Isha, you'll give 30 shekel. Those are the different erechin that a person says, I'm going to give this erech and this value. So this person, I'm going to give that amount. So the Gemara says, however, we don't have that halacha by, how do we qualify? So I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda would say, if it's of this person, if this androgynous is between the age of 26, I would say you give 30 shekel. And if he's lower than, you should give 20. But that's not the case. How do I know that? Where do I know that the androgynous doesn't have any value according even to Rabbi Yehuda? The sign of, because the Braisa tells us in the Sifra, that's going to be, it's going to be important. Hazachar velom tudugunus. The lashon of hazachar. The lashon of hazachar in the pasuk vayarkach hazachar miben esim shana v'mala. Right? Miben esim shana. So the Gemara of hazachar, why could have just said? I know we're talking to male. The zachar is coming to exclude a chumchum or tumtum or adrenus. Tumtum is someone who's lacking both signs, and adrenus is showing both signs. Halakhically, they're the same. We're suffic about both of them. Well, there's a shayla about the different tanaim, but lamaisa, we're suffic about both of them. Different tanaim say maybe adrenus like this is a zachar, this and that, but that lamaisa, they're both sveikas about what they are. Yacholia be'erech isha. So I could say, avaya be'erech isha. So I don't know if he's a male, so maybe give him the lower amount. The woman is 30, let's say. The man is going to be 50. The woman is female. It's 30. So why don't I say that this is the halakha? Tamalomar, hazachar, hazachar. So now, and also v'im nekevahin. Also, we said zakar. And the hemshich is also im nekevahin, that she's a female. They will teach you zakar vaday nekeva vaday. So below children, we're going to understand. That's only if it's a definite female or a definite male. Only in that circumstance, we're going to assume that you give the erechin the value. If you don't have that, you don't give it all. Meaning, if you said you say I want to give this guy's value, and it ends up being, it was you're talking in front of you was a what was this case of a androgynous, you wouldn't give any. You don't have to give anything whatsoever. And the Gemara points out v'stam sifra Rabbi Yehuda. That's what I mentioned before. It was a sifra because this sifra. It's Tam Sifra, it's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is telling over here that we don't review an androgynous as someone who has to give the erechin. So now we see that he's not viewed as a male for this halacha. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Afanani Matanina. We learn this in the Mishnah as well. The Mishnah says, Akol Ksherim LeKaddish. Anyone can do the waters of the Kiddush, of the Mechatas, to put them into the water. So the Gemara says, Chutz Mecher Shota VeKatan, except for a deaf mute person, right? A Shota, someone who's right mentally not there, or a Katan, who's someone who's below the age of 13. Rabbi Yehuda Master Katan. Rabbi Yehuda says a katan is allowed to do them to this mechatas. We're not going to answer that right now, but it says it's okay. Uposel beish of adrigenus. So Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman's not qualified to this, and adrigenus is also not allowed to do this. Rashi says because you need a definite male and not a female. That's what the Gemara learns out in Yuma over there. So we see that he doesn't view the adrigenus as a full fledged male for sure. So the Gemara says, so then at the end of the day, if that's the case that he views as a suffix, so how does it allow you to violate the isra derisa of Shabbos in order to do the mila on Shabbos? So my shna mila. What the day? What's going to be the difference? Mishum dechsiv imalachem kol zachar. The pasuk says imalachem kol zachar. Kol zachar. Why does it say imalachem zachar? Kol zachar. As the Reboy is coming to include the inclusive word, he's teaching you androgynous would be included in this as well. Okay, we'll continue to do this. The Mishnah, we'll do the pickup from the Gemara Mishnah tomorrow. So we'll just do the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Misha yul shtei tinokos. If you have two babies in front of you to do the Milan, echel lemol achar Shabbos, ve'echel lemol b'Shabbos. You have one, let's say, as a Sunday bris, and one is a Shabbos bris. And you got confused with shachach amal et shel achar Shabbos b'Shabbos. You forgot. You accidentally give the one who's supposed to have the bris on Sunday the bris on Shabbos. Chayev, you're going to be chayev to bring a chatas because you violated the raisa of Shabbos, which is chiyuv misa if you did it on purpose. And we know the rule when you have a chiyuv misa. But if you do by accident, you'll be chayav to bring a chatas. Echad lamul be'erev Shabbos. If you have two babies and one to do it on Friday, ve'echad lamul Shabbos, and now you have one to do on Shabbos, so now v'shachach mal erev Shabbos. So here I've done the one on Friday, but I've done it on Shabbos, but I haven't done something totally wrong because I've just done a milah shelo bezmana. Right? At the end of the day, the one who's on Friday has a chiyuv now. His chiyuv was kicked in already on Friday. I forgot. I did that one on Shabbos, so then it's machlokes. Rabbi Lezer mechayav chatas. Rabbi Lezer says he's going to be chayav a chatas because even though he did a mitzvah, he still did a iser deraisa because at the end of the day, we know milah. As we learned before, is not Docha Shabbos. However, Rabbi Yeshua said at the end of the day, since he's doing a mitzvah, he's not going to be chayav. The Gemara is going to analyze this more, Mitzvah Shem. So we'll pick up with the Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow.